Chapter 86. Darrow. Legion's End. I'm in a nightmare. Lysander's riders hound me through the labyrinth of dark streets. Searing pain digs deep into my chest. I did not see the hidden blade until it was inside me. My teeth chatter together. Each breath froths with blood. I have no weapon. Only my right arm works. My left is shattered, along with the sling blade. The gift my wife gave me almost 12 years ago lies upon the ground to be a trophy for Lysander's mantle. One day, he will tell his son how he took it, as I told Pax of how I took Octavius. The city itself becomes a devil, and the prisoners surge south. Lysander's sunbloods have broken the other strong points. They trample men in the wide boulevards as his golds flow across the roofs. Few escape the nocturnal predators. His infantry is comprised of all those prisoners we took in the Battle of the Ledon. Over 1 million join with Heliopolitan mobs to butcher survivors in sunless gardens, underneath the striped awnings of abandoned markets, and on the steps of old amphitheatres littered with refugee trash. The Heliopolitans seem to be killing Tychians as well. I escape back to the mound only by virtue of the chaos. My horse's hooves clump over cobbles deep with blood. Ragged survivors from the other strong points pour across the mall toward the steps of our last refuge. There are so few. There is no way to tell if the sacrifice was worth it, if the quarter hour we bought saved any lives at all. The city is lost. Lights glimmer in orbit from Atalantia's arriving ships. My men are fractured. Did Rona make it back to the Morning Star? It will be a tomb. Those at the ships will never reach the tunnels, and on foot, how far could they go? It's up to Colloway to lead them. But lead them to what? It's all ruins. And Atalantia will be coming with real weapons very soon. Thraxa and Red Sniper wait for me at the bottom of the mound steps. Thraxa looks nearly dead herself. Did you get him? She asks. No. The strength holding her up evaporates. She slumps in the saddle and barely manages to follow me up the mound steps. I dismount inside the atrium, where Harnassus is organizing the survivors. Legionnaires rush to help Thraxa down from her horse. It takes 4 of them. Harnassus rushes to me, slowing when he sees the razor sticking through my chest.
Are you... Screwface, I demand. He hasn't returned.
I say nothing.
They broke through his lines. Only 4 men have come back. They say they saw him fall to a gold.
They were going wild trying to get him, a man adds. They were Fulminata.
Fulminata. The legion in which he embedded himself at my command. I hang my head, dazed from my wounds and exhaustion. I don't know if I can move another muscle. My hamstrings and lower back are cramping so bad, I have to have men help me out of my armor. I almost pass out as they take the vambrace off my shattered arm. They leave the breastplate on, for fear of disturbing the razor in my chest. There's a commotion as they take off my dead boots. I stand barefoot in blood to see men stumbling in carrying Screwface. A shout goes up when the men see him pass. He's missing his right leg from the knee down and the skin above his hairline. He's been scalped by a Fulminata obsidian. As the medici tie off the wound, Screw stares at the murals on the ceiling of the antechamber and moans. His eyes are wild and distant.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, he murmurs. We tried to hold.
We did. They had horses. It was a bloody damn cavalry charge. Mowed us down like wheat.
They'll catch the support. Some of them.
Horses. Horses.
He's in shock, one of the medici says, and then sees the razor in my chest.
Sir?
No time. It's just a lung.
Screwface grabs my good arm.
Clown, Pebble, are they safe?
Aye, I say. They're safe. They're with Severo.
If anyone could make it out, it's that ugly bastard.
I whisper to the medicus. Will he live? Hopefully not, Thraxa says.
She's slumped on the statue's pedestal as reds help her out of her armor. She's bleeding badly from the hole Lysander and his men put in her belly.
It's over. Here. Back home. No shame in it. We gave it a rugged shot.
Her hammer is gone. Her reserve razor sits in her lap.
But I won't be tortured by that creature. Atalantia will vivisect us.
There's only one honorable end to this.
I walk over and take her razor.
It's not over, I snap.
Several hundred weary faces look at me.
It is not over,
I shout to them.
If you can fight, assemble at center.
The few able-bodied men assemble.
Darrow.
Thraxa reaches out her hand for her blade.
I'll die my way. You die yours.
For loyalty to the end, it is the least I can do. I give the razor back. Tired beyond words, I arrange the able bodies with what remains of our guns to constitute a defense for the mound. As if it will matter when Atalantia comes. A hand settles on my shoulder as I send snipers to the gallery. I wheel around to kill the man, but find Harnassus standing there, shrunken and tired, arms caked to the elbow in blood from the wounded.
Darrow, enough. There's nothing more to do.
I say nothing, because I know he is right. One of the red snipers I sent after Loon joins us, a nasty wound on the side of his head.
Might be able to get you out underground, sir.
Alone amongst my men, he seems to think there's still hope. I disabuse him of it. The tunnel entrances are collapsed. The ships are dead. There's nowhere to go. Hearing a noise, I look back to Harnassus.
Did you hear that?
What?
A ship engine.
Where are you going? Darrow!
It takes me a full 2 minutes to climb the stairs to the mound's tower. I throw up halfway to the top. The sick is dark with blood. My limbs are cold and trembling. The razor in my chest hurts so bad it's all I can do to focus on breathing as I look out over the city. There is nothing to see in the darkness. No lights break the spell Lysander has summoned. Only the soft, ocean-like sounds of screams. No lights illuminate the sea, no ships over the water. It was my imagination. A phantom hope. Harnassus mutters a curse for his aching joints as he joins me, breathing heavily.
I'm sorry, he says after a moment. I say nothing.
Glerastis did something to the EMP. Built in a back door. We should have seen it. We should have stopped it.
I told you we could. I thought we could keep up with him.
I look over at him at the very moment where the stalwart commander breaks. It is a single shudder, one that comes from the hidden, substantial depths of the man, and reveals for just a moment the insecure child within, as he realizes what he always suspected is true. He treads in waters far too deep. All this time, I shied from his disapproval. In the absence of Dancer, he became my father figure in a way. I didn't even know it until now, because there is nothing like seeing a father shudder. And then he buries the child and is Harnassus again, hero of the Vox, scowling leader of men. "You know the curse of this world?" I ask, looking at the body the carver made for me. "The greatest gifts were given to the worst of us." "Not realizing they are gifts is what makes them the worst," he replies, as the first of Lysander's legions begin to fill the mall below. My men die as they scramble up the steps, as if there were any safety inside with us. "You know I envied you." I look over at him. "Why him?" I asked. "Why did Ares choose an arrogant pisspot miner and not me?" "It was pettiness. Pettiness that made the Vox. Pettiness that brought us to this. But your wife believed in the Republic, didn't she?" I nod. "You didn't. I saw you lose faith, one step at a time, looking to solve it all yourself. That's why I stood in your way. I thought this was what you wanted, a glorious end. Now that it's here." He searches my eyes. "If not for the Republic, if not for a hero's end, why? Why keep going?" Sometimes a simple question wakes a sleeping answer. I had this picture in my head where I would wake beside Virginia. I'd let her sleep and rise to make coffee, breakfast. And when they woke, my wife and son would find me reading at the kitchen table, or maybe making something out back. "That's it," he says. "That's it." He bellows a laugh. As insult, the sky begins to glow. Individual friction flames from descending star shells coalesce into a throbbing furnace of light. "Well, I imagine one of those friction trails is Atalantia or Ajax. They'll want us alive." He nods. "I won't risk being taken in a last charge. It will smell like cloves and melting rubber as the Celtex comes in. We'll pass out, then we'll wake up in hell." The reflected light from the friction trails carves across Harnassus's eyes. "I'll be damned if I let this be the last thing I see. You shouldn't either." He pauses. "I don't think any of my men will be taken prisoner. It would mean something to them if you were with them in the end." When I do not reply, he goes back down the stairs. "Harnassus." He pauses and turns. "Thank you." "For what?" "Being my conscience." I smile at him. "My wife says I sometimes need that. I know it isn't an easy role. But what a role!" He laughs before he departs. "What a roar!" I stand alone in the tower, watching the friction trails glow over the city, and wonder if this was not inevitable. If all our hope was nothing more than a feeble religion that could not stand the test of time. I sigh onto the railing and work my good hand through my hair. A tinkle comes from inside my armor. I pull my son's key from within and look down at it and feel an ache. How can something so small mean so much? Even now,
when I know I will never see my boy again. I feel as if he were here, with me, as if my wife were by my side in these last moments. The world was too cruel to them. I was too cruel in my own way. But there was beauty. For a moment there was real beauty. I look down at the lost city and feel small comfort. I kept looking for hope in the world, expecting the world to supply deliverance if I plucked the right chords, demanding that it supply validation to my labor if I just gave enough effort. But that is not the nature of the world. Its nature is to consume. In time, it will consume us all, and the spheres will spin until they too are consumed when our sun dies. Maybe that is the point of it. Knowing that though one day darkness will cover all, at least your eyes were open to see moments of light. I pry open my thigh pack and pull out a canister. I pour Dagos's Lycos soil into my hands. I would have liked to see home once more before the end. There is a gust of air behind me.
Oh, gods, brooding again.
Some things never change, a voice says. I turn to see a vision from the past. Cassius?
Hello, Goodman. Kavak said you might need a hand.